Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgarrow.
Boy, there was some historic technical issues. I was sweating. I had to have you turn on the air conditioner. I got so upset.
Stressful. It was definitely stressful.
Putting these little SD cards into this nice device, this Zoom 6. I'm going to keep promoting them because it finally kicked in. But for a while, I wasn't ever going to mention their name again.
Yeah, it's been a real roller coaster.
Yeah, it was up and down for just, and it was only a five minute ride.
Yeah, usually they're shorter.
Roller coasters?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're not 5 minutes.
The emotional ones.
Oh, the emotional ones last year.
Sometimes. I was on a roller coaster from age 12. To 24, I think.
That's what they call late puberty. What?
So long for that stuff to grow in.
Oh, God. And you were combing it and putting on the lotions.
12 years of hair growing soft, and those wouldn't work. I'd go back to the Nair. It's like you can't force nature.
No. Or nurture. None of it works.
It doesn't. I don't believe in any of it.
I like the way, because the last thing that was happening is the card isn't being read.
Right.
And it was like, it seemed, as I was sitting here in the driver's seat, it seemed like all was lost.
Right, it did.
And then really fast, you just went, welcome to Dune Ride, of a sudden.
The sound, it all of a sudden, I was really losing hope. And I think I'm bad at hiding that when something's bothering me, I let it bother everyone, and that was probably stressing you out.
To be honest, it was not. Only because it happens a lot with us.
Right. And I think you're a little more irie than me.
I think so. I think well, it's definitely the drugs.
Right. You are high.
The age.
Yes.
And just, losing a parent. You stop giving a fuck about most SD cards.
Right. It is. You know what? You're right. I am a little more laid back.
Yes. But also, this is a huge amount of pressure. We get together to record this podcast it takes us a month to get together. We want it to work. We want to do it. We put all our good intentions together.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fucking sound doesn't work, and you feel like it's on you somehow.
I'm not a technical. I'm not a DJ. I'm not a sound guy. I'm not a cable dragger for Motley Crue. I'm mm-hmm. not. I'm not this person that you're forcing me to be, Karen.
But I did make you wear those big like tribal earring separator things.
Oh, I like the fashion of it.
Yeah.
I like the way you make me dress in the car.
That's a true sound guy. Thumb ring, bracelets, and then just some crucifixes here and there as accessories.
I mean, I don't even like the band, but this Slipknot t-shirt fits like a glove.
It slips right on you, not like something loose.
Not like something that doesn't fit.
Or doesn't rock.
How have you been, friend?
I've been great. I just want to say, I one time saw Slipknot in a documentary about something. And do you know what Slipknot looks like in real life?
I don't.
If I'm thinking of the correct band, which I'm 92% sure that I am.
Monster makeup, right?
Yeah, monster masks.
Oh, masks, yeah.
Like, masks, you have no idea who they are.
Right.
It's really hilarious.
I think you're right. Yeah, one is like, I'm the Scarecrow.
Yes.
I have a burlap sack.
And then one's like, I'm Mrs. King.
I'm a zipper over my mouth, which yes. is inconvenient because I sing back up.
Zip, unzip, and then sing and zip it back up.
You don't want to leave it open, I'll tell you that. Otherwise, your tongue flies out.
He's like one of those bulldogs that can't put his tongue back in his mouth, so he has to zip it up.
All of their masks are functional. It's there for utilitarian reasons. I have this burlap sack on my head because my hair is filled with ants.
We're just trying to control the bugs with this mask.
I'm scared a fly will go into my mouth, so I have this zipper.
I'm wearing a mask of a person who's got terrible burns on their face because I have terrible burns on my face.
Oh, man, yours is the most fitting, and I'm sorry for your loss of skin.
But also, in 2 years, you'll have the most beautiful skin just to have to regrow it.
Yeah, yeah, it's called microdermabrasion.
Yes. I had a facial. This will be my anecdote for you asking me how I am. Mm-hmm. I recently had a facial. So I have this lady who's this awesome facialist, mm-hmm. who also is named Karen, and she usually does microdermabrasion where somebody, it's like a suction. It's simultaneously a small sander and suction.
Oh, okay.
So they just goes over your face and takes off like two layers of dead skin. So all this creepy, gluey looking old skin is sitting there. It's gray. And she shows it to me because she finds it very satisfying, and
sure.
I do too.
It, like a Biore strip or those pads at the bottom of your feet that apparently pull out tar.
Yeah. I think that second one is a lie.
It's up there with an ear candle, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although, God, I love the idea of ear candling.
Mm-hmm.
That you could vacuum remove wax out of your ear.
And pull it out. I've never done it, but I imagine when you extract it, it makes a cork popping sound.
Yeah. And then there's a tiny note that says, good job.
I'm the little man who lives in here and uses your anvil, hammer, and stirrup. You're a ear man. Sorry, you were saying.
No. So as we were doing that, she goes, do you ever, like, the new thing I offer is a vampire facial, where she takes a needle and pokes my skin, the skin on my face, over and over, like, thousands of times.
How loudly did you say no thank you?
And how immediately? Well, of course, and she draws blood and spins out the blood, the serum in the blood. That's like not the color part, but the other part.
Uh-huh.
And then uses that in a salve once she's done so that my own blood DNA something or like stem cells are rejuvenating my face.
Is it hard to do this on people when they just can't stop vomiting?
No.
Just the description of vampire facial?
Yes. But that's the kind of thing where, like, when you're a lady my age, someone goes, have you heard of the vampire facial? It's $600 a treatment, and it's amazing. And then I go, yes, please solve this thing that's happening on my face. Please.
How is it your own blood is a beauty tip?
I think a lot of this is bullshit, but
yeah.
I don't care. It's like you're at the point in aging where you're like, either I get a procedure or someone's going to be like, oh, don't you know what the Korean women do?
Mm-hmm.
They do, they put the bottom of their foot on their face.
Their
and you're like,
blood.
Me too.
It was all discovered when they saw how smooth Sissy Spacek's face was after Carrie.
She has not aged a day since Carrie.
All you have to do is bathe in your own blood, even if it's theater blood.
Even if it's pig blood.
Never whistle backstage. Call back. You ever call back old episodes?
How have you been?
I almost got a facial, but I went to a spa place for a birthday party. It was like a Russian, or in an area where Russian folks live in West Hollywood, and all types of folks, really.
Sure.
But mostly gay folks and Russian folks. And that's
a sprinkling of gay Russians.
And a sprinkling of there's a crossover.
Yes.
But it was really, it's all these extremely hot saunas and people whip you with birch branches, some kind of branch. And
eucalyptus, maybe?
Fragrant.
Menthol-y?
I think it's supposed to be therapeutic, but I'm like, don't hit me with a stick, sir. Or ma'am. I don't know. I was in there alone. But then they have a 40, if not 35 degree ice dip,
yep.
Which my new hip, I mean, I went in there and my lungs, it was like I was diving in the polar bear group or whatever,
yes.
you know, how they
yep.
treat themselves like an ice fishing pole. And it felt so good.
It
was
did?
Like, it was so cold that it was painful, but then after a while, I guess your body goes into shock. I don't know if it's good for you, but it was good for my hip. And then I jump into this hot tub and it just tingled. It's like I couldn't even feel it. And then all of a sudden I had the legs of a boy.
Oh, so it must have opened some shit up for you.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
It did. It did.
I love it.
On a capillary level and also emotionally.
Emotional and spiritual.
But I saw the Lord in that pool.
And way down at the bottom.
Yeah, I'm like, can I do this at home? Can I put ice in the tub and just treat my body like Nolan Ryan's elbow?
He's yes,
a
you
old
can.
Pitcher.
Did they say yes?
I don't know. I mean, it just doesn't seem fun to do it at home. This was an already deep, you can walk into it. There's a ladder. I don't think I could dip my toes into an ice cube filled tub and not have it ruin my day.
So. Not run away
yeah,
quickly.
Yeah, I haven't done it again. But it's weird how this metal hip radiated the cold, if that is the right. Like, it stayed colder than my real leg.
Yeah, I love it.
It's like it conducted the cold.
Did you watch that documentary about Tony Robbins on, I believe it's on Netflix?
Yeah, the one that made me not like him.
Yes, where he...
He's a foul-mouthed bully.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there's a part where he talks about doing that a polar dip every morning. It's like part of his like life. This is why my life is this way.
Yeah. I just found him so unlikable that, I mean, I did watch the thing, but I was really disappointed in the person he was.
Why? Because swearing?
No, because he's like, you're an asshole and you're lying to yourself. It's like, fucking get out. I've just never met someone that's supposed to be helping people, but he is so self-absorbed. And,
yes.
And thought he was this, he really believes he's like this guru. And
for sure.
You know, he's really just a fucking word magician. I don't care for him. But
well, you know
he probably could change my life.
Well, I think he can change certain people's lives, but I think you have to be the kind of person that would be shocked that someone would say fuck. Like, if you are, like, I don't think we're in that realm because we already have lived shocking lives and done things no one expected,
yeah.
like comedy wise. So that kind of behavior isn't surprising or new or shocking at all.
Right.
So you're not that thing of like, I have a new consciousness, or it's like, oh no, this is just like being in the green room at any fucking comedy club.
Right.
Someone's assaulting you, questioning your morals, questioning your history, all that stuff is like, we've kind of done it already.
Right. But if you're, you know, someone that's just works a job and stays at home all day and has, I guess, if someone says fuck you, you're lying to yourself. It's like, oh my Lanta.
Yes. Holy.
I've never been spoken to that way in
why?
My small town.
Why I? A lot of W's pronounced. Why I?
Well, I'm about to faint.
I like the idea, though, that like, I don't know, when he was talking to that couple, and then he's just basically like, oh, I get it, you're running the show. Like, he clearly
right.
has insight on...
Maybe I need to rewatch it, I don't know. I just left it thinking he was a full of himself asshole.
Well, I think he is. He's also like 6 foot fucking nine.
I don't like that about people, when they're giant.
I love it.
And their head is...
Confident?
Yeah, they just look like a handsome Herman Munster.
No. That's exactly what he looks like.
He's a handsome Herman.
He is. Oh, I just like the picture of Herman Munster, and then just immediately. Okay, but now, do you is that about height, or it's the combination? Like, do you like Andre the Giant because he's a humble giant?
Yes.
Right?
If you're a big, tough guy and you're intimidating, features wise or height wise, or you're going to yell fuck you to people.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, no, you can't be the person that yells fuck you to people. You have to be kind. Like, that's why I like The Rock or whatever. He seems like a gentle, sweet person.
Yes.
And everyone likes him because of that, because he knows he could peel off any of our faces like soft bread.
Yeah.
And
like monkey bread almost.
Oh, he could bite off your nose like a monkey, but he's just using his thumb and forefinger.
He can literally gotch your nose.
He has finger teeth.
That gotch your nose. I love The Rock because... he has a good sense of humor,
mm-hmm.
and he knows that it's very stupid what he looks like. Like, he goes, yeah, this is funny that I look like this.
He's self-aware. Yeah, it's so funny that he knows that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't misuse it. That's what I like about big,
yeah.
tough guys. I have lots of big, tough guy friends, and they know they look that way, and they know they don't have to be intimidating or confront people, or it's like what a luxury it would be to just be a big giant. I wish all the time
that you were a big giant.
Yeah, unless I'm skateboarding, it's like this would suck if I had larger than 5'9" or size 9 feet. 5'9" feet. Whoa, can you imagine?
Feet as tall as a small man.
I'm just a perfect letter L. Like it's my height and my feet are the exact same. I'm just a human right angle. That would be awful. I don't like that.
Or you could then become a great architect.
I really could.
Just always having your tools at hand.
Yes.
And foot. Oh, terrible.
Terrible,
terrible.
But, yeah, it's not a bad idea. Except everyone and have pretty low ceilings. I think you got to go at least 10. Anyway.
At least 10-foot ceilings?
At the very least.
Okay. I personally love giants. I've talked about this before. Huge fan of Robert Wadlow, who is the guy from the Guinness Book of World Records, who,
sure.
like, you know, has his elbow, he's resting his elbow on a light pole or whatever the fuck. He's
right,
so
right.
tall. But did you know, have we ever talked about Anna Swan, the giantess of Nova Scotia?
No.
Who is my favorite. She's, like, really proportionate. So there's, like, lots of pictures of her, and she's, like, 6'11" or some fucking nutso thing. That's probably tall. No, she's taller than that, because she's, like, up there. Anyway, she's huge, and she was from, like, the 1800s, and she just looked like if somebody went, ooh, 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 and grew somebody, like, 4 times larger than normal.
Well, that's the kind of tall person that it means they're not going to live very long, right?
Yes.
It's like a
gigantism.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me sad. Is the man from... Oh, what is that? Oh, God. There's a movie where the dad keeps lying and telling stories. And
Big Fish?
Yes. Is there a giant in that? A giant actor man?
Yes. A French giant.
A French giant man. Do you know his name? I could say... Nothing I say makes sense, yet somehow you're able to decipher...
I'm with you.
My meandering mumblings.
It's because I don't just say I'm a fan of giants. I'm fucking proving it through this conversation.
Any giant I bring up right now,
yep.
you will know.
I will know, or I'll lie and it'll sound like I know.
Oh, right. I'm pretty good at that, too.
Yeah, like a bit of a fib, conversational fibbing, which really ended when the internet came out and I realized anything is provable and then you're just kind of a fucking liar.
Right. I think it's kind of happened to me a few times on this podcast, but I think more often than that, people are like, you are somewhat right.
And don't be hard on yourself. Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, it's funny when we say things conversationally on here and then someone with the luxury of just listening and having access to Google says, ha ha, you're wrong. It's like, well, you're looking it up. We don't have Google in front of us.
Also, I just like, my answer always is, I'd love to hear your podcast. I'd love to hear your fucking podcast.
Yeah, take that, everyone.
You're
listening.
Fucking.
Take that, you person listening.
That's doing us the huge favor of actually supporting us.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck you. Of anybody.
It's fun to say it. That's why Tony Robbins is always saying, fuck you. It feels great.
That's why. He has a big, humongous smile on his face. Mm. What's that?
I don't know. I was going to say something and I just kind of bit my lip. I did stand-up the other night at Largo and...
whose show?
It was Pete Holmes's show.
Nice.
And I had a very good time. And then at the end, Adam Sandler, who's a nice... very nice person.
Yep.
So much so to where it's like, why are you involving me in conversations? He's like, clearly was raised to be a sweet person, and I'm very impressed with who he is.
Yep.
And like a lot of people, I'm like, why do you make stinker movies lately? Because his first ones were important to me. They really were. But his stand-up was so good.
Was it?
I couldn't believe... I'm like, maybe someone's maybe helping him write or whatever.
Definitely.
But he's so good at... making them his. If someone is helping him, I'm not saying, but they were great jokes. And this is a guy I don't think that has done stand-up for a long time, but I haven't laughed that hard. Really long, bizarre jokes that are ridiculous scenarios.
Awesome.
And but they start with something that actually did happen, and then he turns it so everything sounds like an actual story about his kids or an actual story about a dog that he found, or and then it turns into this bizarre world where he's texting with a coyote. I was laughing so hard.
That's so up your alley, too.
It really was. I'm like, oh, man, I'm such a fan of who you are. And, yeah, anyway, I just wanted to let everyone know that Adam Sandler's coming out with a new Netflix special, and I think it's going to be really good stand-up.
I bet it is. It is killing me right now because I know somebody that, oh, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't say this.
Oh,
whoa. Oh,
cocky Mamie.
Damn.
You suck at things. Oh, can't I make eye contact? Nope, he won't look. He won't look. He's in his tiny little yellow car.
That was, my car made a scary noise when I did that.
No, that was just when it's anti-lock. It's just fancy brakes. It's okay. I don't know if we're on ice. I don't know if we're on a hill. I'm going to pull all the stops electronically.
Is it true?
Yeah, it is. That's the sign of a good car. I know it seemed like it locked and felt not smooth.
Yes.
But that was, is this the kind of car where if you fell asleep, the brakes would go on?
Probably.
Yeah, I think that it's new brakes. They don't feel great, but they will save your life.
Whew, that's way better than the fucking Honda Fit brakes. No offense, Honda Fit, you were good to me. But that was a totally different experience, and it's good to know it did stop us from...
Yeah, why did that guy do that?
You know why? It's this thing people do in L.A. Mm-hmm. They won't stop driving. So if something comes into their lane, they just go into your lane.
Right.
Everybody fucking does it. It drives me insane. They don't... when this school bus stopped earlier and had the sign out that said stop. So I stopped. People just whip around you. Like, nobody will stop driving no matter what. So then they're like, well, someone's in my lane. I'm going over there. No matter if someone's in the other lane.
And I've said this before, those are the times, it's during traffic, that I kind of wish I was a policeman.
Yes.
And I could just pull people over and give them tickets. There's people all the time. Even when I think I'm getting old, I'm starting to really see...
Dad stuff?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I wish I could give that guy's drunk right now. And 5 years ago, I was driving around all loosey-goosey.
And now you're like, citizens arrest.
Yes, you put your hands up. And I'm just holding some fruit.
That's good. That's got a lot of fiber. This is what I was going to say about Adam Sandler.
Mm-hmm.
Different from you, because I'm older and a girl, so I don't have the Happy Gilmore relations.
I was just on the tail end of it.
Yeah. So, and I was always like, I knew personal stories from people who, worked at SNL or whatever, where I was like, oh, I bet he's mean to women.
Mm-hmm.
I met him because I did a voice for Punch Drunk Love.
Right. Oh, yeah, I remember. You were on the phone.
Yeah, I'm the sister on the phone.
I knew that before I even met you.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I couldn't have been more excited to do it and be there.
Yeah.
But he was so nice and mm-hmm. so sweet and I can't even explain how I was there ready to just do my part and get out and not get in anyone's way
mm-hmm.
and how complimentary and like supportive, because we had to improvise this conversation
mm-hmm.
where I had to realistically be the sister that's like, you have to come to this party and we're not taking any excuses, and be a bitch to him on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I said was, show up at this party, you fucking phony. And he and then Paul Thomas Anderson was like, okay, cut. And then he was laughing so hard and he goes, oh man, oh fucking phony, is there a worse insult in the world? He was nice
that's
about where I was like, I just thought I just said a bunch of dumb shit and I just kind of want to leave,
right?
But he was so lovely.
Yeah, that's how he was. Even right when he got there, he's like, oh, I like that sweatshirt, that's a fun sweatshirt. I'm like, oh, thanks.
Oh, yay.
And then after his set, he was like, is there any did you like that? Is it missing anything? Is like, are you asking me for notes? But I did notice there was like a moment in the beginning and a moment in the end that where there could be a little callback because it was like the same situation.
Yep.
One was in the first joke, one was in the last.
Perfect.
And I mentioned that, and he's like, oh, my God, I can't believe I didn't. I'm going to use it. Can I use that? And I'm like, of course, you just asked, and it was in my head. I otherwise would not have. But he actually was thankful, and he shook everyone's hand like 10 times. I'm like seriously a big fan of Adam Sandler now.
The thing is,
he's like,
I love that because whatever, like, here's the thing, especially in comedy, there's such a growth arc. When you start, you're so scared, you're so defensive, you're so afraid that you're not going to get picked or included.
Right.
So everybody, boys and girls, men and women, you go in and you just kind of like have a dukes up, like, fuck everybody, I'm going to fight for my place. Or at least this is how it was in the 90s. It might be different now. But
no, I think it is still that way, yeah.
Then you get, as you age, you think, oh, well, I've already been a bitch, or I've already been a dick to that person, or I didn't like them, or whatever. And then you slowly realize, like, once people have families, and they have children, and they have severe loss, and they really have real life experience, then they're like, yeah, this doesn't matter. Like, this is supposed to be fun and great, and not...
Yeah.
Killing me emotionally inside.
Right.
And then there's like that kind of beautiful, like, yeah, however you felt about a person 20 years ago, you don't have to stick with it. Even
right.
if you told everybody you hate anybody, you can be like, yeah, I changed my mind. I grew up. I have a different perspective.
Sure. And I see that a lot, especially in people that don't have to worry anymore and they're doing well and all of a sudden they lighten up and get nice.
Yeah.
And it's like a born again niceness. I feel like that Adam Sandler guy, though, reeks of, I've always been nice. This is not even something I'm trying to do, include you or say a nice thing to you or give you eye contact while you're talking, even though I don't know who you are. It's something that
he's
been always. Yeah, I can tell. I'm real good at reading people.
Well, also, I feel like... I don't want to talk out of turn. I said this already. But I feel like there's someone I know who has been submitting jokes to him.
Right.
I just cannot remember who it is. I feel really bad.
I mean, if you're someone that's busy making... I mean, as busy as that guy is, I imagine you'd have to. And you're...
But that's how everyone does it.
Yeah,
like, all famous comics that you know get 8 of their funniest friends to go, please help me. I'm now famous. I have to keep this going.
Yeah.
Can I pay you to help me keep this going?
Whoever they are... They're all very good at writing for his voice because it was great stuff.
And
it was all in the same voice, and it was all long 5-minute bits that came, that took this weird turn, and he kept doing them. And there wasn't a stinker in the bunch.
I love it.
I was like, I'm not.
And so he
name dropping, I'm not saying that I used to not like him, and now I do. I always kind of liked him, but his stand-up is very good.
It's so awesome.
Like, I haven't been excited about Netflix specials recently.
Right.
I already can tell that one's going to be, unless all of a sudden he's yelling or tells it differently, but this laid-back Largo performance was really fun.
Now, he saw you kill...
I did well, yeah, and I get to go there tonight again. I really like it there.
It's the best.
It is the best, and that audience is like,
we
paid $30. It's John Bryan.
Oh.
Who I like his music always.
Always.
And I haven't seen him since the old Largo.
And are you opening for John Bryan?
I think I'm just doing 20 minutes somewhere. Yeah.
Do you want me to go with you?
That'd be great.
Yay! Do-do-do.
Do-do-dee.
I'd love to see you do... I mean, I haven't seen you do a set in quite some time. Sorry, sir.
It'd be fun. Let's go.
Yeah. I'd love to. But also, I just love... Like, I love the idea because Adam Sandler is just such a thing in and of himself. And I love the idea that he would be sitting in a club watching you, like, because he probably doesn't, he started to do clubs again, but, you know, like, it's a newer thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't know about what everyone's doing. He doesn't know. And then he would come and see you, and then now he fucking knows that you're the fucking shit. And he should know, like, the way you do comedy is different than anybody else, and you deserve Adam Sandler's respect just as much as he deserves yours.
Well, thanks.
That's true.
And he was just hanging out at the Green Room at the Hayworth or the Dynasty Typewriter, the new sort of mini Largo that has opened up that it's really fun. He was just hanging out in the green room with his little daughters, who are just tiny Sarah Silvermans. And they're really sweet, and they were, and he was just hanging out. And then at the end, when everyone was like, give a hand for everyone you've seen tonight, it was no one that anyone had seen that night. It was just Adam Sandler and his two daughters, and my manager, and then some guy from the streets.
Oh, wait. Should we talk about what your manager gave you for... Was that for your birthday?
Yeah, it was a birthday present. It's really sweet.
Wait, I owe you a birthday present.
No, you don't.
Well, but I mean, you told
me... My family does.
You told me in the... Like, when that happened, this is for my birthday, and I didn't... Did I even acknowledge it?
Yeah, yeah.
I was so excited that she had made that thing for us.
It is really cool. It's an air freshener with art from our podcast on it. It's got our little heads... tilted right next to each other, and then the Do You Need a Ride logo with like a sunburst behind it, and it smells great, and I really needed it because there was a sandwich under my passenger seat.
But I wonder, we should see if we can figure out a way to offer those to people.
Yes.
Don't you think?
She, my manager, Jessica, has been saying that we should make air fresheners for a while. And I think even people on the old Twitter have said that. It fits with our program.
Aesthetic. I love it.
I love it, too.
That made me happy. Well, what if this? This might be too... Is John Bryan at 9 or 8?
I have to be there at 9:20.
Were you going to go home and then go?
I think I will go home first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say we could go out to dinner.
Oh, well, maybe. Yeah, I don't need to change that much.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you need? A button-down shirt?
Just something warmer.
Do you have a sweater in your car?
I bet I do, in the trunk. An old bowling ball, dress shoes. I got to clean out my trunk. We're here to talk about. Let me list the things in my trunk. Junk in my trunk.
Gloves. Junk.
There's so much junk in my trunk. My lovely lady bumps.
Oh, did you see her sing the national anthem?
I was like, hey, get off her back. And then I watched it, and I'm like, oh, weird. Is she back on the old rock?
The crystal meth? I didn't watch it because I'm now to the point where I can't watch video online. I can't take it in anymore. I've maxed out. Like, I can't look at Trump's face. I definitely can't listen to him speak.
Oh, my God.
And then anything else that comes up, I'm always like, I can't deal with it. But was it that she was singing the national anthem in a sexy manner?
It was like she was doing here's my impression of my drunk aunt trying to sing 1920s style.
Oh, no. But the national anthem?
Oh, yeah. I don't even recall. I kind of blocked it out, and I only watched a moment of it. But right away, I was like, yep, that sucks. Duly noted. And she never had my respect. I mean, she's a pretty lady, but her other song was Let's Get Retarded or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. She does have a huge singing voice, though.
She was using a different voice.
She was doing something else.
It was a weak, powerless voice with no tone.
That's very strange.
What a jerk I've become.
Look.
It turns out I do care.
You went to Juilliard. You know your shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know singing. You know tone.
Ma, 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 me, ma, ma, mo. Yeah. That is how she sang it.
Oh, I don't like it either. Oh, yeah.
And I liked Black Eyed Peas before Fergie.
You did?
Yeah.
What were they before Fergie?
Well, they were... The only reason I knew about them is it was a free-to-use album for this snowboard video that my friend and cousin Ross was in, and they used Black Eyed Peas several times in the video. I did the cover art for the video.
Congratulations.
It was a fun time. Yeah, it was the late 90s. Everything was great.
And free.
Yeah, it was free. The music was free. So I was like, I remember getting a lot of albums when I was in Tahoe working for these guys and this film company. And then that was one of them. I'm like, this rap group's great. And then I saw a video and they were all like ex-break dancers. And I'm like, I like that. And then it became music I don't like. And it was around the time, coincidentally, that they hired Fergie to
be with them.
I wonder if
they were rebranding and they're just like, Now we're doing it this way.
Yeah, in the beginning they were very much a Jurassic 5 Blackalicious type.
Oh yeah,
like it was. I was really impressed with the music.
Hits from the bong. Which one is that?
Hits from the bong.
I believe that's
Cypress Hill.
Oh, Cypress Hill.
In your head.
Now, is Cypress Hill even similar to Jurassic 5? Because that's...
That man in the frying pan! And your friends! Sorry, that's my... It was confusing because they were, like, all about smoking weed, but then they just also talk about killing people, and it's like, well, those are two different mindsets.
Yeah, they really are almost opposites.
But I was never a huge Cypress Hill fan, and I know that's going to get a lot of people all twisted.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, don't get it twisted. Yeah, how about that, everybody?
Maybe I should learn how to use some of these new phrases. Don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted. Chris did... Damn it.
Are we conversationally rapping?
Yes, I feel
don't
like...
Don't get it twisted. Chris did not mean what he said. White bread.
Go to bed.
And then the sound of a light clicking. God, we should have an album of casual talk rap.
Right before bed? Click.
Yeah, pay attention to your breathing. Don't bother sneezing because that'll wake you up. Sleep with this puppy. Oh, it's harder than I thought.
Yeah, I think we have just canceled the idea we just came up with.
Yeah, I'm going to revoke my Juilliard degree.
Also, I don't think I have come out in such a strong stance against white rap that I don't think I could have been a part of that anyway.
Right.
It's something I really feel strongly about.
I felt strongly about it back when I was doing a little white rapping.
Oh, were you?
Well, I had friends. It was a weird skateboarding crossover where someone gets... tired of skateboarding, but they already have the baggy pants and the hats, and so they're like, I'm going to hang out with these visiting gang members in our small town of Montana. And so we go to this house, and we would drink. They had 40s in a fridge, because they saw that in a rap video, and one of the times, eerily, there was, like, a girl upstairs, and the people were sleeping with her. I'm like, oh, that's a prostitute. I'm at a weird party, and they had guns, and...
Shit.
But there was a DJ there, and these guys that were visiting from California would... had pretty much made us rap, and it was really fun, and we started going there regularly, and they were trying to start Crips or Bloods, I don't know, but they were nice, and they liked us for some reason.
Are you saying you're Crips or Bloods adjacent?
For one summer.
Okay.
Well. And I think they would have fun at our expense sometimes and be like...
I would hope so.
But they also welcomed us in, and there was one time they jumped in, up and down on the hood of my car, and I did hear a gunshot. I would run away and get scared and sleep in this bush, and I was drinking a lot, but my friends would stop at my bush and pull me out of it and put me in the Ford Fairlane.
Nice.
And, yeah, it was a good time. I was very young. I mean, this is 20 to 18, 17. I don't know at all.
And sorry, there were Crips or Bloods that were on vacation from California in Montana?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And they wanted to start a thing. They were getting away from some problems, I guess.
I like that.
And they could have said that, and they really weren't. They were just, hey, we're badasses here. In this quaint liberal arts mountain town.
I love the idea that this is the movie we have to write. It's like either Crips or Bloods that moved to Montana to get away from the pressure and stress of being a fucking gang. And then they start, like, developing talent in the community, the college community.
Yeah, but while doing a little hiking and experiencing nature for the first time.
And at one point... maybe in the middle or near the end, they have a majestic experience with an elk, right?
It changes everything they could have learned from a father who wasn't present.
That's right. They're like, you are now our father. And then the elk snorts.
Tramples them immediately.
And says, this is the way. This is the way of the world.
It's time for you to experience a Rocky Mountain drive-by. He just dances.
Hooves.
Tap dance on your face. I don't care if you're a Blood or a Crip. You're going to feel the hoof tip. I'm pretty good at it. That's why the guys invited me over.
You've really proven that you are gifted.
Yeah. Everything I rapped about back then was kind of farsighty animal rap.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, the deer's taking pictures and she's wearing cat eye glasses.
Yeah, you're right. My shit didn't even rhyme.
I'm one of those rappers that isn't about rhyming.
Yeah.
I'm more painting a picture.
Yeah, it's about cadence, painting a picture.
Hand gestures.
And once again, not rhyming.
And really, let's underline the not rhyming part.
Avoiding
that
rhyming.
Cannot happen.
Avoiding the rhyme.
Have you ever seen, like, old video of Mos Def when he was young and he would get into freestyle, like, circle ups, whatever they're called?
No.
And the shit he would do, I was just like, I knew nothing about rap, wasn't necessarily a fan, except for what was forced on me. Like the fucking Beastie Boys all through high school.
Get out of me.
Please.
I love those guys, but hey, yeah, there was a time, there was a place.
And can't we leave it in the past ever? But, so in this video, it's like a, you know, it's almost like a rap battle or whatever. One guy goes, whatever, and then fucking Mos Def steps up and the shit. He's rapping, referring to things the other guy talked about. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't pre-plan it.
Right.
He was fucking really improvising in the moment.
Right.
And it is so high level. And the fucking, like, the metaphors and the fucking language, it's so mind-blowing.
I think a lot of freestyle rap, they do, it's kind of like what I'm doing. I'm pretending to make stuff up on stage, but I have some planned fake mistakes. You know, my little brain.
I know your act.
My fucking gimmick.
Yep.
But I think a lot of freestyle rap is that. They're like, well, I can fit in. A lot of it's written. But the only reason it's freestyle is you didn't know you were going to do it that night.
Oh, I see.
Or whatever. It's like, and you start at a new place and say, what's up with your shoes? And it's like, I got a rhyme that rhymes with shoes. I'm going to do that right now.
Boo?
You know what I mean?
Booze?
Yeah, yeah.
Blues Clues.
So fucking when we start, I have albums and albums of child TV show references that rhyme.
You're like Steve from Blues Clues. You fucking left for college. Remember when Steve left for college?
but forgot your new shoes. Huh?
Remember that band from the 80s, New Shoes? No, don't ask the audience questions. Just keep rapping.
Yeah, no,
don't stop.
That is a rookie mistake with freestyle rap, is asking questions. People be inclined. It's like, wait, why are you talking? Oh, I guess I did open it up for public forum.
Shoot. I'm being heckled now. God damn it.
So you're saying you can't watch any videos on the internet anymore?
Yeah, I just don't want to get involved. Like, there'll be a thing, and I'll be like, oh, I do want to watch this, but it'll... It's just also triggering.
But
it's
you've
just
been
also
watching
awful.
The good, like, all these...
The teens?
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's
I
amazing.
Think we're in the midst, even though everyone's... There isn't a fucking free-loving drug culture thing to it, but it feels very like a 60s time right now.
Yes, for sure.
And my dad was talking about that on the phone the other day, how he was real proud to be from a time where young people stopped things like the draft. That was a big,
yes,
know, and it feels like that right now. And I can't believe how impressive some of these kids are, to where it's like, and everyone's been reading this about how they should lower the voting age now, but I really believe it.
Yes,
it's just that these kids are so impressive.
Well, I mean,
I'm amazed by it.
It's incredible. It will end. I like the idea of lowering the voting age, because it's like, well, if you could get killed because of the policies,
right,
you should have a voice in
you
that policy.
Have a say in it. Yeah.
Because those kids, it's like they've taken the thing, you know, this whole thing with like it's automatic fucking weapon, assault weapons.
Right.
And it's like, and you go to the place where children are most vulnerable, and like, you know, when it first happens, fucking Sandy Hook, where people, nobody could believe it happened. Nobody could believe that they murdered a classroom full of kindergartners.
Right.
And then everyone's in denial about it until, up until this point where it's like we've all been in shock, and the shock has broken, and the first people to move are the last ones who got shot at, who are like, fuck you and fuck this. And it is amazing, because I sit at home and I'm like, no, this is really important, but also so is people who are getting deported to have lived in America their entire right. lives, or so is, like, there's so many horrible things going on
right now, yeah.
But these kids are like, yeah, all that's important, but we fucking just got almost murdered and our classmates got
that
murdered.
Did the NRA, I don't know if it was a town hall, but that NRA, I believe it was an NRA town hall where they were, and these kids
the one on CNN?
Just roasting them.
Yes.
And it was the best. I mean, the clips I saw, I didn't watch the whole thing, but it was really great to watch these adults squirm and these kids who are fucking smarter than them.
Yes, they are.
Just hand them their asses. I loved it so much, and that's who I'm saying. If you're a kid that cares that much and you can go through all the stuff that most adults don't even go through to be a voter, then they should be able to vote. I really think so.
It's true. And a lot of them, they can register when they're 17. A lot of them are about to start voting. That's the coolest part is when I turned 18, I don't even remember.
I didn't care about
shit. I didn't do anything. I didn't
try. I just wanted to rap and pass out in a bush.
I just wanted to rap. I just wanted to not rap. But it's a kind of thing where things... I think part of the huge relief of it is that it does feel like since Trump was elected that the world has gone insane.
Yeah.
And the things that he's repealing, you know, he's just basically like, oh, yeah, all public lands for sale. Go mining in fucking Yellowstone. Like, the shit that's happening where you're like, what? No, you can't do that. And nope. He's doing everything at once.
What's happening right now is what people would fear if only children voted.
Yes.
That's what a famous celebrity got elected, and now it's the most selfish things in the world are happening. And we might as well let children vote, because apparently old white guys become children.
Yes, they do. And these kids today were raised by, I would say, a majority of parents who were engaged, who are healthy, who are not alcoholics, who are not fucking, we're going to leave you at home for 7 hours.
Yeah.
Like, these kids have been raised with confidence. They've been raised very, very,
The confidence is what blows me away.
Yeah.
No one, are there even shy people anymore? Remember that? That was what I was attracted to. Oh, that guy's quiet and looks like he gets depressed. He'll be my friend.
Same.
Now it's like, I am a good speaker.
Right, because since American Idol, like, everyone's ready to be on TV. Everyone's funny. Everyone's, like, can write a good joke on Twitter. Like, this is a I don't know if the word constituency is the right word, but, like, this is a group of people who nobody's even been considering who are the most underestimated, because they're smarter than everybody.
Right.
They know how to use social media better. Like, they know computers backwards and forwards. Like, they are in charge already.
Yeah, but, and then I assume that and see that in kids, but
are you going to throw up?
Yes, for some reason, just some food that I had yesterday made its way back into my life. Some of the things these kids are saying, it's like would come with years of living. Some of this insight. I'm really impressed with that shaved head girl.
Well, shaved head girl?
Shaved head girl.
What about the kid that... Okay, I don't even know where we fucking are anymore.
We've been here before.
We're in, like, Sun Valley, I think.
It's beautiful. Let's go skiing.
Let's go to Latuna Canyon.
I went skiing.
Did you?
Yeah, not to change the subject.
Are you thinking of Sun Valley?
Yes. People are yelling, not again! Remember? It was...
Sun City?
And we couldn't think of Utah. Yeah.
Yes. Jesus Christ.
Park City. We couldn't think of Park City.
But, like, did you hear the thing where they were interviewing that kid and they were like, you know, there's some people online that are calling you a crisis actor? And his answer immediately, it was Wolf Blitzer, says that to him. And he goes, if anybody saw me in this, our past present production of Fiddler on the Roof, they'd know I'm not a crisis actor.
That's so great.
He made that joke. Or it's just like, instead of going freaking out and being like, how dare, whatever, he's just like, yeah, let's explain how that's all kinds of bullshit.
Oh, that's the best. He made a Fiddler on the Roof joke?
Yeah. He was basically saying, like, yeah, that's bullshit. Like, up until this point, anytime something comes up, no one's questioning like, the idea that they said Sandy Hook grieving parents were crisis actors is one of the sickest online, like, it's new things that's happening, where it's like the disrespect, the insanity of it, and that's like how it goes to show how those people will not let go when they're wrong.
Right.
They will not fucking cop to it.
No.
They won't back down. They won't go, oh my God, this is actually a horrible tragedy and I'm being a fucking
lunatic. And they don't care.
They don't care.
They're like morally devoid people.
I do too.
Yeah,
I think
really
they're like
sad.
Our guns overall. And it's just like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah, if it's really, I think the most real, it's so weird that arming teachers for, I make $20,000 a year. Sure, let me learn some gun skills.
Well, and my sister goes.
Just, I do agree, this is almost a conservative-y view of mine, that maybe security guards and, like, the NRA should pay for metal detectors at all the schools. If you got to have your guns, that at least make sure they don't get into schools. There's metal detectors at schools in Montana for years.
Yeah,
and other place bowling alleys have armed security guard. I know this school had an armed security guard also, but whatever. He was taking a shit or something.
They said he hid.
Oh fuck. Well,
so I mean, like, that whole idea is like, but when the shit comes down, whether you're a teacher or you're an armed security guard that's actually not a policeman and that's fake.
It's the gun. You could be the most skilled person ever unless you also have a scary ass sub-automatic whatever machine gun, AR-15.
Oh, yeah. Right. But when my sister heard him, Trump suggested that the teachers be armed. He's mostly talking about the coaches, though, because he's a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, yeah. The ones that are ex-military. It's like, oh, the history teacher? Just say the history teacher.
Yeah. But my sister heard that, and then she was in Lombardi's Deli in my hometown, which is, like, where everyone goes to get lunch.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, oh, this fucking dipshit. Like, at the top of her lungs, she goes, I was so angry. She's like, so now I don't just have to throw my body in front of the bullets to protect other people's kids. Like, now I have to be shooting a gun. Like, why do I have to fucking do everything and they don't pay me? Like, every solution is make the teachers do it. And it's like, how about you fucking pay the teachers, fund schools, make it so they don't have to buy fucking pencils. Like, how about you take all that...
Oh, you know they'd make them buy their own guns.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you might get a 15% rebate from Smith & Wesson.
That you can only use in the cafeteria for lunches you have to buy yourself.
That's right.
And, yeah, it's
lasagna credit. Go ahead.
One day I hope our entire economy is lasagna-based currency.
That guy just fully ran a red light.
Yeah, with confidence.
And in a minivan.
Ooh, someone doesn't care about their kids.
Somebody's robbing a bank later.
Church. Someone's robbing a bank later.
Church.
Stick them up. I it's so scary. But
changing. I think that's the thing, is like kids walking out and kids standing up. It's like somebody's doing something, because guess what? These fucking Democratic leaders who we all were like, okay, a lunatic's in the house, we got to start fixing it, have just been like, I've
napping.
Only heard from three of them.
They're taking sad naps.
Yeah, for real. They're just like, well, we're going to filibuster until nothing happens. And then the same thing keeps continuing on, where it's like, sorry, this needs to get fixed.
What does it take to make you angry?
Yeah. Or just to fucking roll the dice and get out there. I mean, like, look, there's a bunch of people. I don't really know what I'm talking about. But it's just the movement. It's like these kids being like, no, fuck you. We're marching to this fucking state capitol. We're doing this. We're doing that. Where it's like, it's going to be a tidal wave. It's going to be a tidal wave. And it's such a great counter measure to when we were shown all those fucking dipshit alt-right dudes in their Fred Perry shirts with their tiki torches, where everyone went, oh God, this is the thing that's rising up? No. That's the thing that, like, highly organized, talked about it for years online, and then they went and held tiki torches.
Yeah, a small group of fucking 200 people.
Right. And now this is a whole different thing.
Yeah, there is a... Yeah, what was the statistic? The number of people that showed up to a horsey-based sex what is that called, where they trot around and there's a butt plug in the
horseplay?
Butt. Horseplay. There's like 7,000 people went to that specific meeting, and only 200 of these fucking dipshits with,
right, but
with nice haircuts. I mean, I liked all their hair.
Look, no one can argue that they're not fashion forward, but... Yeah, but the news presents it like, well, here's your new reality, where it's like, no, it's fucking not.
Yeah, it isn't. That's news also doing a bad job.
Yeah.
Coming up business. I'm not, this is going to sound, there is some fake news out there, Karen. Triggered.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I got to do some research, so I'm going, did you know I'm doing this tour as Paul Ryan, doing these town halls, and I'm...
What?
And there's more, more venues. It's places that I can't get in as a comic, and I'm doing a great place in Chicago, Eau Claire. We might be doing Janesville, where Paul Ryan's from. Minneapolis. I'm now doing comedy on State Street. It's happened in the last 4 days, and so I now have to... I mean, I'll field some questions from the audience as Paul Ryan, and it's going to be... moderated by Andy Main, who's a well-informed, funny comic from Portland that made me do... It was, like, against my will. She's like, we're doing these town halls. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm scared. I don't want a real fan of Paul Ryan's to show up with a Republican gun pointed at my snowflake face. But I need to now do the work. It'll be in April, and they're all back-to-back gigs.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and I have to do the research, and I have to learn and do my homework, and I'm going to become a very political person in the next few months. I hope you're ready for that.
I'm not. I reject it.
Okay. But I will cancel these gigs.
Thank you. Please cancel them right away. You should talk to Paul Gilmartin. You know when Paul Gilmartin does that character?
You know what? I even thought about it to where I'm like, am I stepping on his toes a little bit? Does he do it anymore?
I don't know, but you should talk to him about it, because he couldn't be a cooler person.
Right, he is the best.
And it's not the same thing. Like, his guy is made up. It would be really funny if he did it, too, with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because we are going to do one in L.A. at the end, and hopefully Randy Bryce, we've talked to his people, and he hopefully will debate with me.
That's
so
amazing.
So it'll be just a forum for him to actually talk policy, and then for me to just be dumb and cater to what he's trying to say. But I'm just, most things, I don't have to be, that's the luxury of this character. I don't really have to know too much because Paul Ryan himself doesn't, and back talks and avoids answering things and contradicts himself. That can all be fun to do comedically, and those are the quote jokes that I have to write.
You find those like fucking James Adomian doing Bernie Sanders, where he just started going the 10% of the 2% of the 15% of the 19%.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You just find the thing that they're always doing that bugs people the most.
Yeah, that's come so easy for James, but I think if I do a little research, and because basically the only impression I'm doing is that I'm drawing a widow's peak on my hair.
And also he does that smile. Like, he does that shit-eating grin of like, yeah, well.
I hold my breath while I smile and I raise my eyebrows. There's facial things I can do, but he's got a voice that isn't. I wish he did talk like this or like we all do, and I don't know where that voice came from.
It's what we all wish.
A troll audition I had 12 years ago. The point is, I have to watch a lot of these videos that you don't want to watch anymore, and I don't want to watch anymore. I'm not the Trumpy ones, but I have to watch a lot of Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
And pick up on his...
bullshit.
What there is of maybe kind of a personality and duplicate it. But the guy's not. He's personality-less.
Can I pitch something?
Please. Help me.
I think you should have a gavel.
Okay.
But nothing to hit it on, but like just a gavel around. And I also think you should have a bunch of cash in a money clip that if you don't know what to say or somebody asks you a challenging question, you just pull it out and start counting money. Like, do things like that, where you're just like, here's all the different ways you could be an intense douchebag.
Right, right.
That isn't even necessarily based in reality.
Well, of course I'm going to lift weights on stage when I don't know something. Of course I'm going to have some visual. Of course I'm going to come out on a skateboard listening to Rage Against the Machine, a band that is not happy that he likes them.
Yes, it's so
you
funny.
Know, there's going to be, and I'm out of nowhere, I'm going to say, today isn't the place to talk about guns.
Yes.
I just have... planned things, but again, I have a lot of writing to do, but I'm very excited. It's, It makes sense to book a thing and then have to work on it.
Yes.
It'd be weird to, like, create a show and then say, now to the booking process, and then find that no one wants to see it. But
yes,
I'm real excited about it.
Also, it's good to have that a little bit of pressure where I'll speak for myself. When I do stand-up comedy, I don't care. And it shows in every fucking way possible.
I have that too sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. So if you're hooked into, like, you want to deliver this thing because you've been asked to, you know, like,
yeah.
It makes it more fun and interesting, and then it's a little bit of that, like, it revs it up because there's a little pressure.
There is a fire under my ass that does not exist for just doing what I've done for 17 years, which, you know, I got some jokes, I'll riff around them.
Yeah.
I actually have to do some work, and I want it to be good.
Yeah, for sure.
That's because people are already buying tickets, and these venues are already promoting, and I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I have to make the thing that people are going to be watching.
But yeah.
A lot, I mean, when I made these videos, that was me just talking out of my ass and trying to be funny. I don't have to become a politician, but I do have to be able to.
You just have to write jokes to get you out of tight places, which they do all the time. Except for not jokes.
Right, right. Yes. I do want to make sure there's laughs in it, though.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the only thing I'm really good at. Trying to make people laugh.
That's the fun part.
Yeah, it is the fun part. Okay, I'm done talking about my thing. That was a shameless plug. I'm very excited. Oh. I knew you didn't know about it.
No, I don't.
Shameless.
It just happened, right?
yeah. It's been a couple of the gigs came together yesterday evening.
Nice.
Yeah, it's all happening now.
That's fun.
Yeah.
God, I love to be on the road. It's so fun.
It is going to be fun.
Especially
back-to-back days.
Yeah.
I've never, you know, I've always just flown somewhere. It's like, well, I have a week off till the next thing, or a month. Of course I go home. But for it to be, you know, this is going to be April 13th, 14th, 15th, the 16th off, 17th in Minneapolis. It's back-to-back.
Yeah, it's great.
And they keep adding up because we have something to call a club and say, hey, do you have an off night? It's a Tuesday. We will go to that city now. And
yeah.
So I'm going to be traveling with a group, too. I haven't thought about where we're going to sleep. I'll spitball this outside of our podcast.
Okay, good. Because I think you can Airbnb. I think there's relatives in town.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've got relatives in every town. That's a country song.
That's seemed like it was going to go in a rap direction. I just got nervous.
I think we've done enough freestyle hip-hopping.
Please.
For one podcast.
For one episode. Is there anything that we need to discuss?
Oh, yes.
Politics.
We're getting close to wrapping it up.
Is it wrap-up time?
I don't know. I feel like I've talked too much during the... What do you have to say?
yeah, let's get back to what I have to say. Well, I just realized, like, listening to you talk about that, I'm like, I just was talking to somebody because somebody invited me to do their stand-up show, and I was like, I'm not doing stand-up these days. And then...
I want you to... Remember you promised the world that you'd start a band?
I've been listening. Yes.
And I told you I've been listening to a lot of, specifically the Nico Case-fronted New Pornographers songs, and I think you should start a band like that because you can sing like her.
Thank you. I mean, I wish I could sing like her. That would be very cool.
I want you to be in a band that it can happen. Just put up a thing. My friend Colin moved from Missoula. He was in a bluegrassy band. He moved from Missoula to Portland, put up a thing, and an entire band answered his note card at a coffee shop bulletin board, and then the band was the Decemberists.
What?
Yeah.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
You're friends with Colin from the Decemberists.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I did all their... There was a band called Tarkio when we were in Missoula, and I did their... I made temporary tattoos and T-shirts and stuff for them.
Wow.
And they would go to my improv stuff, so when I go to Portland, he comes in a disguise to my concerts, to my comedy concerts.
To the comedy concert.
Yeah. He's like, wears sunglasses and a fishing hat because... but his wife is a very, very good illustrator, and I went to art school with her, and we had cartooning classes together where we'd be the only four people in there.
Oh, wow.
Specific drawing classes. But they make, like, children's books, and she illustrates them, and he writes them. They're cool people.
That's very cool.
But that, he really did just say, hey, I'm a songwriter. I don't know what his card said, but I'm pretty sure that all of the people in that band were already an outfit, and then he just fronted them suddenly.
That's
it probably
great.
Doesn't usually work that way, but
I mean, who knows how it fucking works.
Let's go to a coffee shop and you put up a card.
I'm gonna pull over here at Tokyo Yakitori and we're gonna put up a card in the bathroom. And I'm gonna start just almost like a jam band from Tokyo Yakitori. Just people who like...
Oh, you have to keep practicing there and meeting there?
Yes.
That's where the card got put up?
It's where the card gets put up is kind of how you have to base your band and really theme your band out. And I would actually name a band Tokyo Yakitori if other people were into that.
It is a good name.
It's pretty good.
It is a good name.
It's
so fun to hear the inside scoop on the music industry.
Right? How it actually works?
Yeah.
What it's really like? My friends, I talk about them all the time, but my friend Kevin's band, Sure Sure, when they were changing their name, their band used to be Junior, mm-hmm. and then they were changing the name, and he asked me, he goes, if you have any ideas for the band name, I'd love to hear them. And my best idea...
It wasn't called Junior Junior, was it?
Nope.
Okay, there is a band called Junior Junior.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they changed it.
Yeah.
But... My band name suggestion was Swiftwater Rescue, and I thought that was
best great.
Fucking name.
It is.
All right, so maybe we go from there.
And it is something my brother-in-law teaches.
Is that true?
As a fireman, yeah. He was with a bunch of other firemen, and one of the guys actually, he was talking about how to rescue someone in this raging river, and then while he was teaching it, a real person was in the... water, and he rescued him in front of everyone. So kind of like that. Yeah,
that's amazing.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Maybe my band's thing is that it's Swiftwater. It's Swiftwater Rescue, but out of Tokyo Yakitori.
Mm-hmm. Swiftwater Rescue, Tokyo Swiftwater Rescue Revival.
Yakitori.
TKTCCR.
And one of the great bands that whose posters are so long because the name won't stop going down the page.
One of the reasons Fogarty went solo.
That's a pretty big church. Now we're in...
Oh.
Now we're in... This is Glendale, right? Or is this Burbank?
I don't know where we are.
We're halfway between Burbank and Glendale, I feel like. No, this is Glendale, I think.
Well, it is windy.
As fuck.
Windy as fuck. It was... I was excited because I haven't... Mammoth is very far away and it was a 6-hour drive. But my roommate's girlfriend has a pass there and... her nursing friends have passes there, and they let me sleep on the couch, but I didn't sleep because there was a puppy, and boy, did he make noises. Anyway.
What kind?
He was real cute, but again, I just couldn't sleep. real cuddly, but once again, I am allergic. I snored, so no one else slept. It was a real disaster, this puppy. But cute as the dickens, I just wanted to put his ear in my mouth and bite it, with my lips. He was very strong and pit bully in the face, but he was not intimidating. He was just a happy doggy.
Aww.
But,
so he was like, doing all that shit?
Intellectually, nothing to write home about, though.
but not fun or cute?
It was so windy up, it was 1 degree and windy, and the mountain was made of ice, and you don't expect, like, it was a 2-day situation where it was like, the mountain was, I don't know if that guy's talking to me or if he's crazy, but...
We'll just roll up a little
further. That's what happened up there. I was just talking to some girl. Everyone was getting drinks, and then some guy just came up and punched me in the face. It was the most bizarre...
What?
Yeah, he hit me in the jaw, and I looked at him, and I just expected him to keep looking at me and realize I wasn't who he thought I was. That's how shocked I was. But then once I realized he was just randomly punching, and he didn't hit me hard. And my jaw hurt a little, but he didn't hit me that hard. And then I thought, well, this must be the boyfriend of this girl. I was like, how are you? Like, it was not. and then that guy, her actual husband came up. She's like, I'm so sorry. That guy had no reason to do that. And they were all of his friends were shocked. except for his one other friend that wanted to fight also, and then they saw my Nate came over, and they were like, oh, it looks like that guy could beat us up, and so they changed their tune. But it was right when I was like, nope, this is happening, I'm very angry, because it did make me mad.
But wait, sorry.
And so then
the
I turned to a 15-year-old, and I wanted to fight him.
But the friend punched you because he thought you were trying to pick up on his friend's wife?
I really don't think there is any reason behind it. He came up to me, and I smiled, and I'm like, what's that? Maybe he misread, but he immediately punched me so quickly that I think it was in his plans upon walking up to me.
And that he's maybe crazy, though.
Yeah, but he was like a little guy. I easily could have taken him. He was like, I remember, I called him Soft Face. And I kept calling him Soft Face. And I think that guy, because he did have like kind of a soft looking face with a slight mustache.
Oh,
and he's like, I don't like that I have like a knot. I don't have a lot of definitive lines in my face. It's kind of a bready face. He was a real Brady Stenellis in the face. And I, so calling him Soft Face really got to him. And I was filled with so much energy like a spring that I wanted to, I have a lot of anger in me, but it was the wrong time. When someone hits you, you have to hit them right back right then.
Yes.
You can't wait for all these people to get involved, and then that's kind of what I got upset too late, and I've been upset about it. I keep having nightmares where I hit him back. Anyway, the point is...
But you got punched in the face. That's you're not in the wrong.
It wasn't that. It was just a surprise. It was like, wow, my face is hot. I think that guy just hit me. And then the next day, my jaw hurt, but it was really out of nowhere. But there's a weird thing about me. People do... I've been punched a lot. I don't know why. It sounds like... If someone was telling this story, if I were you, I'd think, well, Chris isn't giving the whole story. He probably was... It really is
mouth
a situation where I absolutely was in a good mood. And people were dancing. It was like a mountain bar where there was a DJ and everyone's dancing. And it was kind of fun. And then all of a sudden, some dude punched my face.
God, that's crazy.
Yeah, and my only regret is that I didn't hit him back. Isn't that, I know it's not healthy, but it really is.
Well, no, because I think it's very natural. Because someone comes at you, mm-hmm. they are triggering all your fight responses.
Mm-hmm. It's just, I didn't know mine kicked in so late.
Well, because you didn't know what was going on.
I was like, he thinks I'm someone else.
Yeah.
Let me wait here, and he's going to go, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I thought you were Gary.
That fucking asshole.
And for not the first time in my life, I'd say. People always think I'm a Gary.
You are Gary-esque. I will agree with that. But also, that's so, if he wasn't overtly drunk or, there's no indicators that it would be happening.
Yeah. It was really... He was drunk, yeah.
You know what's funny? I have dreams sometimes. Like, I had a friend who we fought a lot verbally.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, I'd have a dream I punched her. And then the whole dream would just be the aftermath of, oh, my God, what's wrong with you? Why did you do that? Mm-hmm. That's so crazy or whatever. And I would wake up so relieved that I never actually punched anybody. But it was because I was just so mad and frustrated by her.
Well, yeah, it does. It would be relief because the opposite, even when you're in the right and there's a fight, especially as I get older, but even when I was young, you wake up feeling terrible.
Yes.
It's awful.
Yes.
I had a hangover emotionally from just getting punched and not even fighting back. Just the next day, I was kind of bummed out all day.
Yes.
I had done cocaine or something.
Well, that makes sense, too, because... cocaine. Because there is the... that's like the conflict of any kind freaks you out.
Yeah.
Like that's why people get so fucking crazy when they feel threatened in whatever way.
Yeah.
Because it stirs up in you that thing of like, well, what are you going to fucking do now? Like mm-hmm. everybody has a certain amount of PTSD. Everybody has a certain amount of like, this is what my mother used to always say or whatever,
yeah, yeah.
where you're all fucked up and you don't even know why.
Yeah.
God, it's so crazy.
Mm-hmm. He really had that look on his face of, what are you going to do now? And I was like, oh, man, I should have answered it.
Do you think he was, mentally ill? Do you think he was drunk?
It was, he did seem, that kind of behavior, it's like, you're, either it was a bet. I thought someone bet him. I dare you to hit a random person.
Yeah. But it wasn't random because you were talking to his friend's wife.
Yeah, there was a but again, that girl's husband came up and he's like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. She's not even his girlfriend. This is my wife. I don't know why he did that." I was like, "Well, all I was doing." And then she was like, "He was just talking to me. It was a lady.
Yeah,
it wasn't like some siren that had me all wound up. Just some lady in a bar. How are you? I don't remember what I said. Maybe I don't know. I'd love to get that guy's perspective. That would be a way to find out if he's crazy.
Did you stick your tongue in her ear?
I had my tongue between my fingers and I was going, like that lady.
And then he walked up and said, "How dare you mock Jerry Lewis?"
Oh, I forgot about that. He was a big Jerry fan. God rest you. God rest that woman hating.
God rest that piece of comedy shit.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people were like, "I am so heartbroken."
Yeah. I don't think so.
No, not on my...
I don't think so, Blaine.
Not on this timepiece. Not a lot of people aren't wearing watches anymore, Simon.
That's right.
Not on this cell phone.
Not on my Apple Watch. No.
Not on this sundial.
about to pass the Pickwick Lanes. Very special place for me.
Oh, is that... Now, I like bowling, and we tried to go bowling in Mammoth, but it was, everything there is really expensive. I didn't know. Just the cab ride to the place was $20, but it seems like bowling is cool again, and it's fucking not, in Montana, it's still like $2 a game.
Oh, it's expensive.
I enjoy bowling, though. Is that?
I love it.
It's fun. I want to get good at it. It's something I know I can do later in life.
Yep. It's super fun. It's... You can talk, you can pay attention to the game, mm-hmm. you can stop paying attention to the game.
Right.
You can eat finger foods and then stick your fingers into a bowling ball.
That is something that I can't believe people are okay with.
It's my favorite.
It is. Could there be a dirtier hole?
It's it's so disgusting and hilarious.
And I'm talking about my mouth. No. It is gross. It's like...
It's so gross.
It hit me... Last time I went bowling, I was eating fries and then sticking my fingers in, which, again, I have tiny hands. People are like, "Why do you have soft, dainty little hands?" But suddenly, when I'm bowling, my fingers are huge Wilt Chamberlain phalanges, and I can't find a ball that will house these, what are giant fingers only in a bowling alley. It's so funny.
Because the drilled holes are so small.
Maybe it's because I'm going for like 8-pound balls.
Yeah, are you always doing the pink ball, the pinkest ball you can find?
The pinkest, swirliest.
Those are for girls.
Oh, nuts.
There's a real delineation between girl balls and boy balls.
You know I go for the big black chipped one.
What's crazy is...
Give me your worst house ball. Like one from the 60s.
One that has metal inside.
That's what it is. People used to be smaller, and I'm getting these old balls.
That's right. It's like when you shop at it.
60 fingers. So.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, it's like when you shop at the thrift store, and you get something that's from the 50s, and it's like...
How is this an extra large?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is there still a dead guy's BO in it?
Well, because they didn't used to give cows hormones.
And he died from sweating.
He sweat to death in that jacket. When we played bowling mm-hmm. over Christmas.
You play bowling?
We play bowling.
I play bowling.
When we went to check out, it was like $100-something, and me and my sister Nate were all like, "What the fuck? Like, what did we do?" Because we just kept playing.
Yeah.
And there was like 8 of us.
Yeah, it's like you gotta figure out either when is it $25 for the hour or whatever, that kind of deal, or how many games, you know, let's milk these games.
Yes.
Really spend time setting up each shot. Because if you just bowl willy-nilly, like, let's go till this isn't boring, it's very expensive.
It's very expensive. And it also doesn't seem like it would be, so it's always a surprise.
Yeah.
They're like, $70.
Wait, this was a quarter my whole life.
But also, no one likes doing this but me.
Yeah.
Why is it expensive?
Yeah, everyone's in a bad mood. Because they think they're going to be good at it.
But you know what's fun? If you go on a league night and you can just watch people who are good at it, like, be great at it. It's so... I love that.
when I first moved here, and someone had a birthday party, and Chris Hardwick was there, and there was karaoke, and I was like, man, that guy's a good singer. And then we bowled, and he's a professional bowler, or his dad was.
His dad was, yeah.
And he, I was like, I couldn't, like, I can't even, I'm starting to learn how to curve it, you know, because that is really the secret to consistent strikes.
Is that true?
Is it coming in at an angle? My whole life, I've tried to throw it as hard as I can.
Straight ball.
And if it's a little off center of that front pin, I'm like, that'll be a strike. But not always. Every once in a while, it's like this situation where it's like snake eyes or whatever, or a split.
Yep.
110 split. You know the 110.
Yeah, the 110 split down by the 101 south.
The third exit, yeah. But I've gotten to where I'm like, is this boring? I don't know. I keep my thumb out and
not
I spin it, and it hurts my wrist, but I'm starting to learn how to curve it. And it can hit anywhere. If it's coming in at an angle, they all go down, baby.
It's so cool. Also, that way, to me, there's people who are like, oh, I like bowling. And then there's people like, I huck the bowling ball like a softball sideways.
Yeah, yeah.
That's next level. That's that's so exciting.
Yeah, it really is. And their leg curls up behind their back like a skater. Yeah. Some kind of.
Sometimes they throw a hand up.
Yeah.
In a gesture.
And their shirt has a pinstripe down one side. And their name is Guy Fieri.
And they lick the ball.
Oh, that's my favorite. You think it's bad just eating fries with these fingers. I lick the damn ball.
I lick that fucking ball.
I lick the three holes. Thank you for tuning in right then.
I mean, I think we just shut it down. I think we actually wrung every possible bit of talking out of this
I had a lot of talking points today, and I think I covered them clearly.
Yeah, you did great. I think you covered politics. I think you covered sports.
Mm-hmm.
I think you covered friendships with Adam Sandler.
Mm-hmm. I dominated this.
I'm not saying that.
No, I'm saying it.
Oh, you're saying it. Then it's true.
Here I am saying something again.
Oh, what a surprise. You're saying it.
Oh, man. This is fun. This is a good podcast. We're good at this.
We're fucking good at talking. I can fucking check my texts and keep talking.
Yeah, I wish I had your multitasking abilities. I can't even hold a mic and say the word multitasking.
Well, it is two things.
Yeah.
Do you have upcoming shows that you want people to go to?
Before this Paul Ryan stuff that happens in April, I'm doing a show next month at Big Sky because they said I could get some tickets to ski.
Oh, nice.
So the day before St. Patrick's Day, I'm at Big Sky, Montana, the ski area. It's just past Bozeman. If you are someone that's able to go, you know where it is.
Wait a second, though. It's a comedy show at the ski place?
At Lone Peak Brewing Company.
Oh, cool.
They've had shows there before, and
and now they are going to again.
Yeah. The guy that runs it is pals with Joe Borden, a friend of mine that writes on Tasha's show, and he wrote on that reality show I was on, and
oh, great.
I realized when I got in contact with him, there was a text from him from 3 years ago saying, hey, do you want to stand up here? And I just... it's so amazing when you find these old texts. It's like, it's good to meet you. Also, sorry, I ignored your text from 2003.
From 3 years ago.
Yeah, 2013, yeah.
Or, yeah, like the last text was 2 years ago, and then what's up?
Yeah. Or you reconnect with someone, you're like, oh, let me see if I have their number. And the last text was like, fuck you. It's like, oh, I forgot that that's a person I shouldn't talk to.
Oh, there's a reason we're not connected anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, well then Big Sky.
Yeah.
Comedy situation.
Yeah, and then in April I do the town halls. And
what cities is that going to take place in that you know so far?
So far it is Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is Chicago, Illinois. It is Madison,
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin also, not in that order. I think it is in that order, actually. Oh. And then, that's the last one. And Minneapolis is one.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think more to come. It's working out. A thing's working out.
Loving it. Well,
how about
and also
you?
Once
how about you?
Ooh, me? No. Oh no, I can't. I'm just gonna be in this car. Well, we go to
Karen rested her head on the steering wheel and put her thumb in her mouth. No.
No, I can't do it. Don't make me do stand-up.
I want to make you, but I'm not going to make anyone.
Well, I told my friend, I don't think I got to this part of the story, but I told my friend when I said I'm not doing stand-up anymore, I go, because the last time I did a set, I realized all my jokes were these weird kind of subtle compliments to myself. Like, every joke, the point of every joke was like, well, here's how somebody was interested in me in some way.
Oh,
and then I just
think, I've seen you, I don't think you do that.
Oh, it just felt bad. It was like when you step back and then you see the larger pattern of your fucking insecurity. Anyhow, my band, Swiftwater Tokyo Ramen, will be playing down at the LA River on Thursdays. Please come down.
Yeah. It's
we're going to be rescuing fishermen out of the LA River from Thursday to Sunday.
It's a very literal band name.
Yep. It's more of a service that we provide the county.
Musical rescue.
Yeah. Yeah. Not emotional. Don't get us confused. Don't get it twisted. Everybody. Ooh.
Too fast for my comfort. Well, I'm excited for you to start a band.
Okay,
and so
great.
Is everyone. We made a promise. What was my promise?
Your promise was to impersonate Paul Ryan around the country.
Right. Okay. I can't remember. We both had.
These were our New Year's promises?
Yeah, we had them. And
Was yours surfing?
No, I don't think so. I would never make that promise.
I thought it was something like doing blah, blah, blah more.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, that's not important.
Okay.
I'm okay with breaking that promise.
All right. Well, since we're at my house and my neighbor Chuck will be livid if I honk my horn.
Yes, yes. Let's not do it. I'll do mouth horn.
Okay, great.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Do You Need a Ride?
D-Y-N-A-R! Oh, my battery.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.